Well, good morning, church. Hey, Blessing of the Backpack Sunday is one of my favorite Sundays of the year. I just have to be honest, man, just to be able to pray over our children as they go back to school and pray for their safety and pray for their learning. We're all about just praying the power of God upon kids' life, and so we're grateful for this Sunday. A lot of people have asked my wife and myself about our recent vacation, if you want to call it a vacation, a recent trip that the two of us took. Many of you know that Laura and myself ventured out on a 900. We didn't know it was going to be 900. We thought it was going to be about 850, but about a 912-mile tandem bike ride around the entire shoreline of the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. And yes, we made it. It took us 12 days to do it. If you have visited a shore town on the coast of Michigan, most likely we rode through it. If you grew up in a shore town on the coast of Michigan, the shoreline of Michigan, we rode through it. If you vacationed at a shoreline town somewhere on the coast of Michigan, we rode through it. Had a great time. My least favorite part of the entire process was camping. We were gone 12 days, that's 11 nights, and six of the 11 nights we camped. We towed all the stuff in a little trailer behind our back, little two-person tent that our son loaned to us, and little sleeping mats that, to tell you the truth, I was so glad to see my bed when I got home, so we kind of really roughed it, all right, and camping was a bad. We made a lot of great, saw a lot of great things, met a lot of great people. You meet some interesting people around the campground, all right? I'm just letting you know. The third night we were gone, we stopped at a little campground near Pinconning, Michigan, all right? That's about, we did about 80 miles a day, so that was the third day. So probably roughly 120, maybe 160 miles from here or whatever. But it's right there, okay? Just to let you know. And so we little campground, we stopped on the shoreline of Lake Huron right there on the bay. And we were fortunate enough to be placed next to the resident in the campground known as Big Dave, all right? Now, Big Dave really kind of lived up to his name. I mean, honestly, he was about 6'4", probably weighed 400 pounds, kind of a grizzly bear-looking dude, rough kind of cut. My wife broke the conversation barrier with him when he had a clothesline strung up around some trees, and she went over and asked if we could hang our bike clothes on there to let them dry overnight. He was like, sure. So that, just broke the conversation barrier. And he came out as if he was like our long lost relative or something. All right. I mean, this guy was super nice, probably drunk beyond knowledge, all right, of us being there. He told us in our conversation, he says, yeah, I've been here 3 months. And he says, my wife leaves at our house. And I'm like, what life situation would you be in if you lived at a campground for 3 months, all right? I have no idea, all right? No clue as to why he was there for 3 months. But he said, yeah, but the 3 months, we introduced ourselves. I gave him my name. Laura gave her name. And he said, I'll never remember that. And I said, okay, well, and later in the night, I realized he didn't remember that because my wife had gone off to the shower. We getting ready things right there at the campground. I was setting up camp. And from across our camp divide, wall, which is what, a tree, okay, he yells to me, hey, you skinny F, and I mean, he did not put E-R on the end of that word, all right? It was just, hey, you skinny F. That's what he referred to me. He didn't know I was a pastor, at the time. And so he just knew I was a biker because we rode in on our tandem. And so that was my name for the rest of the night almost. But I forgave him because he fed us dinner, okay? He was super nice. He says, man, he brought us all kinds of snacks over and things like this. I'm a really nice guy, just couldn't remember my name and men made up some perverse name for me, but we had a great time. And honestly, we right before we retired for the night, we checked the radar, and fortunately we did, because when we checked the radar, We noticed about 1 or 2 o'clock there was a massive thunderstorm that was going to come and hit the campground area. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going through the rain in a tent again. We've done it already one night. We're not going to do it again. So we go to the camp, like, director person and says, you know, do you have any other places? You know, and so they upgraded us to a cabin. Yeah, you know. Oh, don't get too excited. My mattress went from this to this. Okay, that's it. All right. But they upgraded us to a little cabin. At least we were dry for the night. But when we went back to our campsite to unpack our stuff and fold up our little tent, Big Dave came out. He says, are you moving already? And I'm like, Big Dave, man, I'm sorry. We're going to have to leave you, you know. You just weren't friendly enough, you know, for us to stick around. You know? But he gave me this big hug and, like, you know, gave me some chiropractic adjustment, okay? And you know, as we were packing up our stuff, he comes over and he goes, you know, now granted, this guy is staying in his camper by himself. He said, you know what? You didn't have to move. He said, I've got an extra bed in the camper. You guys can just stay in that. And I was like, heck no. All right. I was like, no way. All right. Am I going to stay in your camper? You know, I told our kids that and I said, you know, we probably would have woke up with him in our bed. All right. You know, when we woke up and Richmond, our youngest, goes, he said, you probably would have woke up with him licking your earlobe in the middle of the night. And I was like, yeah. I said, I could see the headlines now. You know, he probably would have buried us underneath his camper, I guess. I don't know. You know, but I could see the headlines. You know, pastor and wife killed by camper, doing what they love to do, you know, camping. So, you know, but honestly, that would have been a waste of my life had I, you know, Big Dave would have taken my life, right? You know, I recently saw a sign that said, life is too precious to waste. You know, and that's so accurate. If you go to the Bible, In Ephesians chapter 5, there's a verse that tells us how important our life is. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, listen to what the Word of God says. It says, pay careful attention. Do you know what the opposite of the word careful is? It's careless. I mean, so in other words, it's saying, don't be careless about your life. This is what this verse is going to say. It says, pay careful attention then how you live. In other words, it's important in how we live. It's important of what we do. It's important about the significance of our life. It says, pay careful attention then to how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time. In other words, don't waste your life is what this verse is telling us. Don't waste your life. Make the most of the time. Because the days are evil. So that, and so don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. In other words, don't waste your life. Understand what God wants you to do. You know, we're starting a brand new series this morning. It's going to go for a few weeks. And it's called Got Purpose. And we're going to examine the reason as to why we are here on earth. You know, we're going to examine the purpose of why God created us. You know, a lot of people think, well, God created us to love. That's absolutely, that's what the Bible tells us, you know. But then they stop at that. You know, if God loved us so much and he was just so interested in us living, he would just create us in heaven. There's a reason for us being here on this earth. And man, humankind, women have searched for centuries, for decades, ever since time began, for the significance and the purpose and the meaning of life. And this verse tells us, don't waste your life. You're here for a reason. Don't waste your life. Make sure that you make the most and do what God wants you to do. So we're going to take a look at our purpose in the next few weeks. Now, in order to understand life, to tell you the truth, you have to understand the three big questions about life, all right? There are three big questions that you have to answer about life, and I'm going to give them to you this morning, okay? The first one is the question of origin, Okay, the question of our existence. Where did we come from? How did we get here? You know, I've said many times there are three options about life. Okay, there are three options. You have to choose one of them. All right, you can't do multiple, you know, choice, multiple answers. You have to choose one of the three, and there are three options about how life got here on this planet. First of all, one option is that life is just the result of some colossal coincidence. I mean, a massive explosion beyond comprehension took place billions of years ago. Matter was blown into the space of the universe, and just miraculously, somehow, just coincidentally, some rock formed 93 million miles from a sun in perfect proximity for it to be able to cool, to start to vaporize, create an atmosphere, water condensate, make oceans, make streams. Out of that, storms hit the water, made the enzymes necessary to create the scripture of language of DNA, and from a single-celled organism, we multiplied into what we see today. I mean, that's one option, is that life is some type of colossal coincidence of almost incalculable odds. And that's one way, one option you can believe how life got here on this planet. Another option is that life is just some type of matrix. It's just some type of dream, you know, that we'll wake up one day and say, oh, that's what it was all about. Duh, we got it wrong the whole time, you know. I mean, do I take the red pill? Do I take the blue pill? All right. You know, that's kind of, you know, an option. In other words, you know, that we're a colossal coincidence, that life is just some type of dream, and we're just all, you know, dreams kind of intertwined with one another, because your dream is matching with my dream right now, because, you know, we're in church together, in service together. The third option is this, is that God created life. And he put this planet together for a purpose and for a reason. Now, there are the three options about how life got here, how our existence got here, how our origin, and answering the question of our origin, that we're an unimaginable accident, okay? Incalculable odds produced us, that we're living in some type of matrix, some type of dream, or that God created us. And there's a reason for us being here. Now, I just want you to know right off the bat, okay, I'm going to be teaching from the perspective that God created us, okay, and that we are created by God. Just to clear up any fog, okay, I want you to know that that's the perspective that I come from, and that's what we're going to be learning about. So when the question of origin comes about, we need to understand that God created us. Get this. The Bible tells us in the very first sentence of the book, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you know, to have any type of existence, you have to have three things? You have to have time, you have to have space, and you have to have matter. If you didn't have matter, you know, the others two doesn't matter. If you don't have time, there's nothing to be able to clock the existence by. If you didn't have space to put it in, you don't have any space to put it in. So you have to have time, space, and matter. Listen to this. The very first verse of the book says this. In the beginning, that's time. God created the heavens, that's space. And the earth, that's matter. So right there, God created our existence. Now, I want you to notice one other thing about that particular verse, the very first sentence of the book. It says, in the beginning, God. I want you to know this. You weren't there yet. All right? So life, to tell you the truth, has to begin with God. So in other words, when you ask questions about what life is all about, what's my purpose in life? What's my significance in life? When you ask those type of questions, why are we here? What's the purpose of God planting us here? You can't begin to answer that question with you, because you didn't create yourself. You didn't make yourself. God created us. God is the one that put us into play. In the beginning, God, he was the only actor on the stage. He's the only one in the drama. He's the only one in the play. He's only the only one listed as the player at this point. And so in order to answer the question, why am I here? What is life about? What's the meaning of life? You can't start with yourself. You have to start with God, because he's the one that created it all. So that's one big question, one of life's greatest questions, the question of origin, the question of existence. Where do we come from? Okay, so the answer to that, simply put, is that God created us. The second question we have to ask and wrestle about life is the question of importance. Okay, the question of importance. In other words, is your life important? Is your life significant? Does your life have an impact? Okay? Is the question of importance. Once people answer the question of origin, no matter how they answer that question, whether they choose that we're a colossal coincidence, or whether they choose to believe that we're in some type of matrix or dream, or whether, you know, they choose that, you know, hey, I believe that God created us, all right? You know, you choose one of the three. No matter what choice you make, the next question you ask yourself is the question of importance, okay? In other words, what is my significance here? Why am I important? Is my life important here on earth? Now, a lot of people try to answer that in a lot of different ways, okay? You know, you might think so, but I've boiled it down to three things. There are three things, to tell you the truth, on whether or not, okay, on a level that we live. There's three levels that you and I live at, okay? The first level is the survival level, okay? We're just surviving. You notice the guy on the opening video, okay, in this message. You're going to see that for the next several weeks, just by the way, all right? But he hits the alarm clock, wakes up, drinks his coffee, goes out, goes to work, comes back, da-da-da-da-da, you know? I mean, is that who we are? Is it just an act of survival? We just, a sequence of events that happen in our day. We're just surviving. We're just making it happen. We're just waiting for the weekend. Let me tell you something. If you're just waiting for the weekend, you are living in what I call the survival mode. If you're living just to make it to Saturday, just to make it to Friday night, just to make it to Sunday, you know, you're living in survival mode. Okay, survival mode is just getting by. Man, I'm just scraping by. And a lot of people live in survival mode. The next level that I would tell you that people live at is the success level. In other words, they've kind of bypassed, they've kind of graduated from the survival level. Now they're into the success level. In other words, you know, let me just kind of tip you off. If you live here in the United States, you probably have made it to the success level, all right? If you've held a job for longer than 5 years, you probably have made it to the success level. You know, if you're a homeowner, own a car, you probably have made it to the success level. So there's the survival level of existence, and there's the success level of existence, where we think, oh, okay, I've accomplished a few things in my life. You know, yeah, there's a few things that I've done. You know, I've been successful in this. I've been successful in raising my family. Maybe I'm a successful grandparent, da-da-da-da-da. I've made successfully to retirement. Hey, fantastic, you know. That's the success level. But there's no satisfaction in the success level, because life isn't about accumulating things. Life isn't about achieving just goals. You got to get to the next level, which I call that level being the significance level. You see, there's three levels people live at. There's survival level, the success level, and then there's the significance level. That's when you know what your significance is. That's what you know. You know, and you live in the purpose of what you've been designed to do. You see, the next several weeks, we're going to talk about why God made you. You know, there's a purpose to every single thing that God makes. You know, my wife and I, when we're on our bike ride, let me just tell you real quick the difference between the East Coast and the West Coast. West Coast has beach, sand. It's not there now because the water level's so high. But they have beach, sand. East Coast is all rock. It's a significant difference. Lake Huron's all rocky shore, you know, unless, you know, somebody, you know, trucked in the sand from the west side, you know, and made a beach there. You know, there may be a little bit of beach, but most of it, when you walk out into the water, it's just rocks. Okay, you can't even walk on it almost because it hurts your feet. All right, but that's the east side. You might think, well, what's the purpose of God making the rock in that water? I'll tell you what the purpose of God making that rock in the water is, or that rock out in the path that you see. Maybe someday somebody will pick it up and say, man, what a pretty rock. Wow. God took his time making that and just threw it back down on the path. God may have made that rock just for that purpose, just for that moment, just for that person to say, man, God's a great designer. And you know what? Maybe God's people aren't praising him enough. And the Bible tells us if we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out in praise to God. And so maybe God made some of those rocks to sing praises to him when we're not doing our job. You see, there's a purpose to everything that God has made. There's a purpose as to why you are here. Now, let me tell you something, okay? We can live at the survival mode, just go through our routine, you know, wake up, brush our same old teeth, comb our same old hair, eat the same old breakfast, go to the same old car, do the same old work, come home, see the same old people, well, see the same family, all right? See the same old people, lay down again, the same old bed, get up in the morning, brush the same old teeth, eat the same old breakfast, on and on and on. We can survive. We can succeed, or we can live in the significant level, and that's what God intends for us to do, is for our life to be significant. Now, let me just tell you briefly, okay, we're going to unpack this in the next several weeks, but let me just tell you briefly how you live in the significant level, okay? What does God want out of me? If God has created me, if he has designed me, if he has created me for a purpose, and there's a significance of me being here, there's a purpose for me being here, then what do I want to do for God? What does God want out of me? He tells us clearly in his word, don't waste your life. Pay careful attention in how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of time because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is, or understand what God wants you to do. Understand that. So the last question we need to ask ourselves, and the last big question about our life, we have the question of origin, the question of importance, but here's the third question people have to answer about life, and that is the question of purpose. What's your purpose? What's your design? What does God want out of us? Let me just tell you real quick what God wants out of you. God wants all of you. He wants everything about you. God doesn't want 10% of you. God doesn't want 50% of you. God doesn't want 90% of you. God doesn't want 99% of you. God wants 100% of who you are. You know, I think a lot of times we view our life as like pieces of a pie, you know. I've got my marriage slice, I've got my work slice, I've got my friend slice, I've got, my home slice, I've got my kid slice, I've got, you know, my retirement slice, I've got, all my hobby slice, I've got my spiritual slice. No, let me tell you something. God's not interested in how many slices you put in your pie. God's interested in the whole pie. That's what he wants. Let me just ask you, what's the goal of your life? We say the goal of my life is to have a successful marriage. Fantastic. You say the goal of my life is to raise, you know, well-adjusted, productive kids. Fantastic. You say the goal of my life is to further my career. Fantastic. Goal of my life is to make a retirement. Fantastic. Those are all great goals, but let me tell you something. If those are more important than God, then they're idols. Because God said his word, I'm to be number one. I'm to be the most important thing in your life. And that's the thing, that's the one relationship you're to pursue above all else. You see, God wants to be and is to be the number one thing in our life. He created you. You're here for a purpose. You know, if I was to show you something you had never seen before, you know, I almost brought it with me this morning. You know, the other day I saw a 3.5-inch hard disk, you know, that you used to put in computers. Remember those? You know, some of you who are younger are like, what are you talking about? You know, yeah, but the 3.5-inch floppy disk, remember those? You know, you used to carry them around our pocket. They were our, you know, they were our antique jump drives, okay, is basically what they are. You know, you carry them in your pocket and you have, you know, that little disk, you pull it out and you put it into your computer. It's like, oh, yeah, there's my stuff, there's my files, you know. Or, you know, we remember those. We you know, kind of grew up on those. I had a person tell me one time, he says, yeah, he said, my 12-year-old son, I showed him my 12-year-old son a 3.5-inch floppy disk. He goes, oh, cool, Dad, you printed 3D printed the save icon. You know, I'm like, yeah, I guess that's probably true. You know, but if I showed you something that you had never seen before, I showed a young teenager a cassette tape player. And I said, have you ever seen one of these? They're like, no. I said, do you know what this is? They were like, no. But if I showed you something you had never seen before, how would you figure out what it was? How would you figure out what its purpose was? There's only two ways. You either have to read the owner's manual or you have to ask the creator, the person who made it, the person who invented it. That's how you found out the purpose of something. So if you want to find out the purpose of your life, let me give you a tip. You have to ask the creator. You have to ask the author. You have to ask the inventor. And you have to read the owner's manual, God's word. You see, he'll give us the reason why we're here. He'll give us the reason why he created us. You see, we can answer the question of origin. We can answer the question of importance. But the true question is, what's the question of purpose? Why are you here? The next few weeks, we're going to talk about what God's word tells us about what your purpose and my purpose in life is all about. Man, I want you to join us for every Sunday in the next coming weeks, all right? Because this can be life-changing. Maybe you're a seeker here this morning. Maybe you're like, you know, Pastor, I'm not sure I believe this Bible stuff. You know, I'm not sure about, you know, this church stuff. You know, maybe this is my first time here. I'm not, you know, too, you know, hip on all this stuff. Well, just stay with us. Maybe God wants to reveal something to your heart and something to your life. Maybe you're a new believer here this morning. Maybe you just asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're a brand new believer this morning. Man, stay with us in the next few weeks because let me tell you something. We're going to cover what God's word teaches us about what our significance and what our purpose and what our meaning and why you are here on this planet. And I promise you that you will grow exponentially spiritually if you stay with us. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I've been a Christian for a number of years, and you know what, my Christian life, my walk, my relationship with God just getting a little stale. And you know what, I need a little pick-me-up. Let me tell you something, the next few weeks when you find out, maybe for the first time, or maybe this might be a refresher about why God has you here, that's going to be the pick-you-up spiritually that you need. We need to answer the question of purpose. Why you're here. You're here for a reason. God created you here. You're not a mistake. You may have been a surprise to your parents, but you weren't a surprise to God. Maybe your parents weren't planning you, but God was. There is no mistake. He has you here for a reason. You know, as a pastor, I've been at the bedside of a number of people, maybe hundreds, I don't know, a number of people who are just about ready to pass into eternity, just about ready to die and leave this earth. And I tell you something, I've never had anybody grab my hand and say, "Pastor, I wish I could spend more hours at the office. Pastor, you know, I wish I could, you know, spend more hours working on my house. Pastor, I wish I could spend more hours in my garden and mowing my grass. Man, you know, I'm going to miss all that." No. I've sat by the bedside of many people, and all of them have said, "Pastor, this is what's significant to me. My family, my friends, and I pray that my legacy of Christ lives on in them. And I pray that I have been a witness to them and that my life has had purpose and value and significance." That's what they wanted to know. The Bible tells us, don't waste your life. Don't waste it surviving. Don't waste it succeeding, even though those things can be good. Spend your life, invest your life in what's significant. And in following what God wants. Let's pray. Creator God, we thank you that you loved us enough that you wanted to spend eternity and for us to spend eternity in heaven. So you sent Jesus Christ that we might have a relationship with him. Father God, we thank you that you loved us that much. Father God, we come before you just laying our heart down, laying our life down. Father God, we pray that our life would be filled with significance, that our life would be filled with purpose. God, we just don't want to survive. We just don't want to succeed. God, we want to live on that significant level. Lord, teach us in your word in the next coming weeks. God, teach us why we're here, what our purpose is, the reason that you've placed us here in this earth. God, I pray that we don't just dismiss this word. I pray, God, that it has an impact upon our heart. It has an impact upon our life. I pray that we go from this place telling others and bringing others back with us. We're going to be talking about the purpose and the meaning of life. And God, I pray that your people hunger for that. Lord, I pray that as we go from this place, we go changed. Changed heart, changed life, changed mind. And a changed perspective to live for you with all our being. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.